This is Marty and Ariadna.
And this is our second episode of Harp Tales Stories from Behind Our Strings.
We want to take a moment to say thank you to everyone who's reached out to us after dropping our first episode. The outpouring of support and everyone's thoughts have been so fun to go through and read. Thank you so much to everyone who has sent us a message or sent us a text and let us know your thoughts. And if you would like to support us, then please go ahead and leave us a good review. We're so glad you're enjoying what you're listening to. To start off today's show, Ariadna, would you like to share your favorite harp happening that occurred between now and our last episode?
Well, I mean, we had quite a few interesting harp happenings. We had a beautiful filming day where we spent like a solid three or four hours? I think it was like 3.5 hours. out in the beautiful Florida sun, making some Instagram reels, because we're trying to be Instagram heroes too while we're at it. And Marty's shaking her head. We're not trying to be Instagram heroes, but we are trying to share our craft with the world. And unfortunately, filming is part of that. But my harp happening that I'm excited about that hasn't quite happened yet is we are going to Bridget Kibbe's concert tonight. Should be exciting. We'll be paying special attention to the programming since that's our current beast of burden, as you will come to find out in this episode. But yeah, those are mine. What about you? What has harp happened in your world?
Well, a lot of my harp happenings are also your harp happenings, which is wonderful. And I'm also very excited for Bridget Kibbe's concert. I wish that I went to more concerts. Honestly, we don't go to enough.
Yeah, like kind of like once they let you out of school and they stop being like, okay, you have to collect like 15 programs by the end of the semester, you start slacking, okay?
It's also so lovely to go to a harp event where I don't have to move a harp. And I am so excited to be listening to harp music instead of moving my harp and being nervous. But I do love moving my harp and being nervous. But it's
get a break from that. Stop lying to all of us. You do not like being nervous or moving harps. Like, be real. If you could teleport your harp, you would.
Yes, I would. I would. But I'm very grateful for all the work that I do. So I don't want to say that I don't like moving. I do like... But okay, my favorite harp happening... This is not going to sound so stupid, but was when you came over to do the recording the other night.
Oh, yeah.
After Rhett went to bed, and then we went to Raising Cane's and then recorded some stuff in the dark.
We love recording stuff
in the dark. The reason it was in the dark was because we're in the middle of renovating our home, and we don't have electricity in all of our rooms yet, but almost. Like, the lights just aren't quite hooked up, but they're not. We have electricity, the lights aren't hooked up anyway.
Actually, the real reason is we're secretly moles, and we can't be bothered to be in direct light exposure. We work best in the dark.
I mean, you just told them that we sat in the sun with our harps, but we didn't sit in direct sun with the harps. We were trying to be in the shade anyway. So that was my favorite harp happening because it just felt so...
It felt productive, it felt fun, it felt good, like we were moving towards something.
Yeah.
Let's go, team, let's go! enough of those harp happenings. But, you know, if someone had a harp happening that they want to share, let us know. We'd love to hear it.
So, this week we are discussing programming because we have taken inspiration from the other harp ensembles that we spoke about in our last episode and how they had a smorgasbord, a little charcuterie board, if you will, of harp programs to show to venues.
Like a menu of sorts.
A little menu, yes. And we thought that was a fantabulous concept, and so we are coming up with our own programs, a different contrasting variety, to discuss on this episode, kind of workshop with you, the listener, and come up with, what did we say, two or three?
Two or three, something like that, but in general, also just kind of, like, address the concept of programming, because, like, the second you get out of school, not to harp about that, the second you get out of school... You kind of get to deviate from the, we're just going to do, like, chronologically, you get a Baroque piece, a classical piece, a Romantic piece, and then also a contemporary piece kind of
Which
style programming.
Which isn't a bad
It's not a bad
model.
Lineup. But it's very scholastic. It's very, like, I can play from all these different time periods and genres. But when you kind of get out of that, you have... I feel like there's so much flexibility that it's almost stressful to, like, come up with a program because there's just so many options.
I feel like there's so many options, people just don't ever do this. I haven't put on a recital since I got out of school.
Yeah, no, same.
I don't know too many people that, well, we are, but I don't know too many people that have.
Unless people are kind of like, I guess that's their like profession of being like a concertized artist where they just like tour and do programs and stuff. I don't know that like, actually that's not true. We know someone who regularly programs recitals for fun, just with like friends. And you know what? That's respectable. I think more people should do that. Like I think like having jam sessions with your friends with an audience can be a good and healing thing when it's not like just like a jury of professors. So maybe we should approach it more with like that kind of mindset.
Well, I think that is what we're doing. But that's one person versus however many did we go to school with.
Like it's just, this is true. And this doesn't,
I'm not speaking of jazz musicians. I have a lot of jazz friends who do programs and recitals and concerts all the time
but when they're out of school. I feel like that's more like jazz is such like a live performance art in a
sense.
That's
true. But I think that harp
isn't.
Classical people should get more into
creative
that.
And less out of the box, less
out of our comfort zone. Do you remember when we lived in Denton and I used to play at that little convenience store?
Yeah, like that was good.
I really loved that. And I really, because it was so,
it's very much like you're playing for people.
Than the masses.
Than the masses. Like it's like, in a way it's like, it was like a weird private public event. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a good place to go because I would go there and play through like my recital stuff and whatever for preparing for my recital. So I'd just do like little practice concerts there. But it was so fun because you would have people who would come that were my friends expecting to hear the harp there. But then you'd also have people just showing up to buy cigarettes or beer or whatever. And they'd be like, is that a harp? And be like, yes. And they loved it. And like,
people
were
so, is that a cello? Is that a tuba? Oh my gosh, I've never seen a flute like this.
People really seem to love it.
Of course they loved it.
You know, but you wouldn't expect to see a harp there. And then also maybe those types of people aren't going to harp concerts all the time.
Right. I mean, most people aren't. Like, let's be real. No, like, who out here, like, the vast majority is not. But we want to change that. We want more people.
So if you own a 7-Eleven, contact us today so that we can come. No.
Let's stay away from the corporation and embrace small businesses. If anyone has, like, a mom-and-pop style convenience store, hit us up.
To. Yeah. Why was I talking about that? Programming,
yeah. And just, like, I guess engaging with community. Actually, we kind of talked about this before we sat down to film, but I feel like it'd be so cool to do, like, audience-led programming.
I agree. And that is something we don't have to go to the convenience store for. We could do it in our house.
Yeah. Like, I think it would be fun to, like, I don't know, sit down and, like, issue, like, a missive to the massive, to the internet warriors, you know, to our friendly neighborhood, I don't know, pals, strangers.
Aficionados, enthusiasts.
Yeah, exactly. And just be like, okay, so, like, what do you want to, like, hear this month? Give us, like, you know, like, five solid options. And then we see how well we can prepare this program in 5 months. Throughout the month. 5 months is crazy. And then we would, you know, like, I don't know, like, live stream it or something.
I love that idea, but it's almost like anti-programming because it would be just any random songs that people suggested on our Instagrams.
It would be anti-programming. Conversely, we could also, like, basically be like, okay, here's a theme of a concert we want to do. Like,
no, I don't think it should be themed. I don't think we should set the theme. Wouldn't
it be fun to just be like, all right, guys, this concert theme is frog jazz. Give us your best frog jazz songs. And then from there, we pick like five songs and we program that.
I fear no one would respond unless we said something along the lines of what would Frog and Toad listen to if they like jazz? Because just frog jazz.
Okay, I want you, frog music is a big thing on the internet these days.
What corner of the internet are you on? Frog music.
Yeah, you know, people are out there making slimy beats.
You know, I've heard of people playing music to mushrooms.
That's different and not at all what I'm thinking about, but we could, in theory, also have the mushrooms pick out our program.
I like the frog jazz, I like the mushroom, but I also love the idea of just letting people tell us what they want to hear and it just being a very...
Okay, like almost a random people can tell you what they want to hear, but they're not allowed to say Stairway to Heaven or Canon and D.
Yes, they are.
No.
I want people to be able to say what they want, and I just want it to be like a little love letter to anybody who wants to hear it. And if what they want to hear is Canon and D on repeat for 5 hours, I will do that for you one time, and then I will never do it again.
You get one Canon and D pass in your life.
For 5 hours.
Look, actually, you know what?
I like Canon and D. Sue me, fight me. Any classical music person who's a snob, come fight me. But I like Canon and D, and I like playing it at gigs because people always love it. They respond well every time. It's pretty. It's overplayed because it's pretty. It is a beautiful piece, and it's not hard.
I feel like for a piece of music like Canon and D, there's too many scales in it.
Too many scales in it. They're nice. They're nice scales. It's overplayed for a reason because it's wonderful. But to be honest,
I would love to know why it's so popular.
Like, I also would love to know what did that. And also, I don't know any other piece by Pachelbel. I can't think of one. No. And I cannot tell you a single fun fact about Pachelbel.
Other than he has a canon.
I hope that it was as popular in his life, because can you imagine how much it would suck to have like the most played classical piece ever and it wasn't popular and you were just a starving composer in your day and then you died and then you were the author, the composer of Pachelbel's canon, and it just...
It like took off. Yeah. I mean, that's happened so many times with composers. Yeah. Like,
well, I hope that didn't happen is what I'm saying.
It probably did. I mean, that's what happened with Bach.
We should really look this up. Okay, Bach at least had, like, we know more than just one. We know.
Okay, but the only reason Bach is so popular is because Mendelssohn found his stuff and was like, wow, you guys, this stuff is so great. Wait a second. And he pretty much single-handedly, I need to peer review myself, but remember this coming up. But, like, one guy.
We don't know. We're going to drop some facts about Pachelbel. It takes one guy
to uplift a song, and it could take two guys to take it down. Listen, this could be our time to find something better than Pachelbel. We are not taking down.
I love Pachelbel's canon. I love the response it gets. My whole point here is that for our audience-driven concert, I am happy to play Pachelbel's for the people. And for me, maybe that's what I like to do in my my favorite harp happening this past week was playing Pachelbel's canon softly to myself in the dead of the night.
Songs you wouldn't tell people that you were listening to.
In a former life, I would never have admitted that I kind of get down with Pachelbel's canon, but I will have no shame about this. It's beautiful. I'm happy when people want me to play Pachelbel's canon for their weddings. I'm happy when they want to do something new and modern too. I'm here to play what people like, and if people like Pachelbel's canon, I like it too.
That's fine, I guess. But anyway, yeah, audience-driven programming could be fun. I don't know. Is that something people would be interested in? I feel like as like a viewer, I would love more like engagement in a concert kind of setting. Like, you know, it is nice to like walk in and like the music's already all picked out, but it would just be great to like, you know, leave a suggestion. Like, you know, with like a DJ, you can be like, hey, dude, like, I want to hear the Cupid Shuffle again. And the guy is like, screw you, but fine, you know?
Is that the Pachelbel's canon of...
I was just thinking about that. And
wedding receptions.
I think, yes. I think especially, I imagine it's probably like a staple. It is the Pachelbel's canon of wedding receptions in the Midwest. That is my...
What's the other one that's not the Cupid Shuffle? That's
Soldier Boy.
No. No. The other one, the slide.
The electric slide?
To the right, to
that
the
is the Cupid Shuffle! No, it's that's not. Literally the Cupid Shuffle!
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. To the right, to the right,
and to the Cupid.
Yeah, it's the Cupid Shuffle. What do you mean?
Okay, we don't go to a lot of parties. At least I don't. Ariana clearly goes to a bunch of them in the Midwest. Anywho, I love the idea of the anti-programming concert. We will do this for y'all in August. We will have a couple of months to come up with this, and it will be a nice little Mod Podge.
Okay, another one. How do you feel about, like, spontaneous,
like spontaneous programming. Like, let's say we just start a live stream and people just start throwing requests and we just have to do it
together.
Like, no sheet music, no nothing. Sheet music. We just...
I think we'd have to have some kind of sheet music, because then people would just watch us, like...
I think it'd be great. Someone would be like, can you play Turning Page or Which Pages or whatever it is? And then we'd, like, do it, but, like, you're in, like, G sharp minor or whatever, and I'm, like, A flat major, and everyone's confused.
I'm going to say down to that. I think that is a horrible idea. But we would love your request, and we will do this nice little... like a scrapbook concert?
Scrapbook concert?
Let's call it a scrapbook concert. Because everybody is bringing...
That's like a potluck.
Let's call it a potluck program.
That's good.
It's a potluck program. Everybody bring your request. Let us know what you'd like to hear on the potluck program. And stay tuned, because
we'll try to make it happen.
We will make this happen in August, because I'm leaving for an entire month and our next episode will be recorded over Zoom. Sorry. But that's okay.
That's fine. Yeah. That'll give us time to prepare. We should do it in the dark.
No. I'm so tired of being in the dark.
I feel like you're afraid of the night.
I am not afraid of the night. I just hate the way that I look on camera when the only thing you can see is like my shiny face illuminated from my iPad. I hate the way it looks, and somebody accidentally, like, they posted a video of me recently of my shiny face from the iPad, and you can just barely see anything in the frame except for like this bizarre glowing, just my nose and eyes frowning, and I hated it, and I don't want that for us.
Okay, you know, I can respect that a little bit.
I want us to be in nice lighting.
Okay, fine. Fair. But on to, I guess, the meat of the program, where we talk about programming for real.
So originally the plan was for us to come up with two surprise programs to talk to the other person about and kind of discuss what the other person thought, and then pick one.
But surprise, surprise, this is another episode we're recording for the second time, so there are no surprises here.
There are no surprises here. However, we are going to go through them again and narrow down what we want to do for each of those programs. So, yes. Ariadna, would you like to start?
Yeah, let's start with the one we know we're pretty confident we're going to do, because we feel strongly about it.
Jazzy classics.
No, the book one.
Okay, fine.
But both are things we're considering. But the one, like, our true, like, the OG concept we had was, like, a literature-themed program, because, like, there's a lot of movies that are based on books, and those have, like, soundtracks and stuff, and we were like, oh, it'd be fun to, like, do this program in, you know, a bookstore or at some book club meeting. That's or a in a library idea. And we could, you know, have pieces that are themed around, you know, popular books, even though they were technically made movies or operas or whatever first.
But it's still technically literature themed.
But I don't know. I just think it would be fun. I think it'd be a fun concept to, you know, advertise, because, you know, book talk is all trendy right now. People love books.
We
all
are
of a
also
sudden.
Both avid readers.
We also like reading, yeah.
We are big readers.
Yes.
So it's combining two of our loves. And the other reason we were gravitating towards that is because we want to find harp duo music that is maybe underplayed or kind of shuffled away and not really
like it's fallen out of fashion, but we want to tie it in, like, thematically to a program. So, like, we didn't want to just have a random song without words that doesn't really
Actually fine with that.
Marty was fine with that, but me, I have strong aesthetic opinions, and I think you should have themes for stuff, and it's
I think
more
that's
fun
so
that
funny
way.
Coming from the person who just suggested that we don't even have the same key.
That's
and
different.
We just, okay,
it's different.
I will digress.
That was like a joke.
But I do think that it is a wonderful idea to tie it into a book theme. So the first piece we were kind of thinking of putting on the program was the John Thomas fantasy on
Lucia.
Lucia, yes, which is a beautiful, beautiful piece. And there's a wonderful recording by Duo Praxis for harp and piano. I hope I pronounced their name right. It's hopefully, a beautiful recording.
And for, you know, everyone who's like, Lucia is an opera, you're right, it is, but it was based on a novel, which is why it's on this program. Anyways, so we have Lucia, and that will be that's a honker of a piece. It's quite long, so I imagine we'd have it probably at the end of the program. I don't know. I feel like I'm inclined to, like, if I have, like, a lot of short songs and one long song, I'm inclined to do, like, the long song last for whatever reason.
I thought we had a lot of long songs.
We do?
We were going to do a medley of Lord of the
Rings.
But we
haven't even written those yet. So, like, it's up to us. The John Thomas is quite, what is it, like 20 minutes?
It is a honker. So, yes. So let's put that at the end.
At the end.
And then there's the Lord of the Rings medley
again, because Lord of the Rings was a book. Beautiful score.
Yes.
And it would be fun. Short. I don't know. Medleys. I don't think a medley needs to be longer than 10 minutes. I think a medley can easily be like...
I think it should be less than 10 minutes.
It could be like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah. We need to go through and rewatch Lord of the Rings. And I know that's not a very bookish thing to say, but oh well. And see which songs we want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's good. We also talked about doing a Narnia medley.
We did.
We did? Yeah.
I didn't think we did. We could.
I thought we did. I even started looking up,
really,
like, songs from that.
Okay, and from Narnia. I thought we were going to do Harry Potter.
Well, that one too. I thought we were going to have the 3 movie medleys. Movie music medleys. Okay,
I'm fine. I'm totally down for Narnia.
It has a nice soundtrack. I guess we kind of did a Narnia medley back in our UNT Heartbeats days, didn't we?
We did. It was just one piece,
I thought it was a medley.
Maybe it was a medley. It was beautiful.
It was nice. Good job, Caitlin. Thinking of you.
And then the Merry-Go-Round of Life.
Yes.
We were going to do. We're going to do that one. Based on a book. Howl's Moving Castle is a book.
I love that book so much. And I like the movie too, but I'm going to say book Howl is superior to movie Howl.
I have neither seen nor read.
We need to fix this before we do this program. We gotta rectify this immediately.
And then... what are we forgetting?
We did talk about doing, like, the Godfather theme.
Yes! I love the book, The Godfather. I love the book so much, I named my dog after the book. The movie's okay. The music is phenomenal.
The music is good. Nina Rota is great.
Yes. So we should definitely do that. And I think that is a pretty hefty program.
Right. Yeah, no, that's huge. Like, 3 medleys and then 2 standalone pieces and then also the John Thomas. Like, that's a...
A big
program
undertaking,
yeah. So we definitely have to take it'll take some time to get it all together from, like, the writing of it and then the rehearsing and the practicing of it. But I think, like, once we get it down, it'll be a really fun program to put on. Although maybe it's a little ambitious. I don't know. Like, my thing with, like, the other thing with programming is I feel like we have to think about, like, the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like, let's say we are marketing towards, you know, the recently awakened book lover, right? Would they have the patience to sit through, you know,
an hour and a half long? I don't think the recently awakened book lover is reading Lord of the Rings, Narnia, The Godfather, and Howl's Moving Castle. And I feel this way because I am in a book club and I love all my book club friends, and a lot of them are recently awakened book lovers, and they are not reading those things. They are reading a lot of...
dubious romanticy?
A lot of... No, I enjoy... I enjoy a good romanticy novel, but I don't know what we could do 1,000 years. I don't know.
A 1,000 years would work for... This brings me a lot of...
Actually, there's a really beautiful piece that... Bella's Lullaby, we could do that.
Oh, Twilight. You know,
Ariadna will never admit this, but she loves Twilight more than anyone ever met.
No, I do not. I don't. I've never even read the books.
It doesn't matter.
This is so unfair.
So we could do... I think that
it's
I like
it's
our...
long enough. It's
I think
enough.
Maybe
I think
this is geared more towards the super nerdy book lover.
The original book lover. The
original book lover
who started book loving in, like, middle school.
Sure. Yes. Yes, exactly. But I think maybe we don't do medleys for Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter. Maybe we just do like themes.
That's what a medley is.
Like, no, but one from Harry Potter, one from Lord of the Rings. I don't know.
Well, in theory, what we could do is we could do like a John Williams medley. But I don't think John Williams had anything to do with Lord of the Rings. Who's the guy who wrote that?
Howard Shore, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Last time we thought it was Howard Stern, and it was not. It was
Howard Stern is someone totally different.
Totally different.
Yes, yeah, Howard Shore.
I don't know. I like the idea of doing, like, a medley, but it doesn't have to be long. It can be, like, 3 minutes, right?
I like the idea of doing a Lord of the Rings-themed concert where we just play...
Lord of the Rings.
That is correct.
However, don't dislike that either. That could be nice.
It'd be so fun if we could dress like Gollum and Frodo and do this.
Okay, hold on. Who's Gollum and who's Frodo?
Well, I'm shorter, so I... Well, I think I would be Gollum.
Why?
I think if one of us were to have a mental break and go live under a mountain with a ring and eat raw fish, it would be me.
You just had a... You can't even... You don't even like dry fish.
I liked the dry fish. Okay, fine. You can be Gollum.
I'm not particularly attached to being Gollum. I'm just surprised.
Sounds like you are. I thought I was being nice and taking one for the team there. I said I could do it. I'll be Gollum. Somebody has to be Gollum.
First of all, why are those the first two characters that you thought of?
Okay.
From Lord of the Rings?
Well, it would be weird. One of us can't be Frodo and one be Gandalf because the height, we're too, like... You're taller than me, but you're not that much taller than me.
But that's what you're hung up on. It's like, yes, the height difference.
No one would be able to tell if we went as Aragorn and Frodo, because you would have to be tremendously taller than me to be Aragorn if I was Frodo. The same with Gandalf. They'd just be, it would be like Santa Claus and some guy is what they'd think we were. You have to make it obvious.
Well, wait. Why can't you be Gandalf and I'll be Sauron?
That is a thought. There's a winner there. Or we could go as maybe Gimli and Frodo. Gimli? He was in... I'm getting the dwarves mixed up. I think Gimli was in Lord of the Rings.
I think so, yeah.
That's... Somebody correct me. Anyway, we're off topic again. Which my mom said she didn't like.
Okay, both of our moms had the same, like, oh, you guys, yeah, sure are.
We are all over the place.
All over the place.
Our other... The other program idea that we had was kind of a witchier concert that I really loved the idea of. And I have so many ideas that I think would be nice
Sunken
on this.
Sunken Cathedral, right?
Yes, the Sunken Cathedral, I think, would be the first one. Because then we're, like, emerging. As a duo, we emerge from the water.
We should have the concert on the beach. The harps are in the sand, and we just crawl out of the ocean and we start playing.
We cannot put the harps on the sand, but
we can
maybe
make
we'll
a
have
platform.
Like a great idea. We you know, yes, I was about to have a total tangent, and I'm not doing that in honor of our mothers. Okay, the other ones that I think would be nice, and this is in no particular order, so what I want to do is figure out which ones we should keep from this and okay. Put them in an order. So Rhiannon by Fleetwood Mac, I love, very witchy, very fun. Blackbird by the Beatles, one of my favorite songs, especially after I had my son, I just listened to that song over and over. Black Magic Woman by Santana, I think is super fun and I think it'd be really cool for harp duo. And then In the Hall of the Mountain King by Grieg. The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah. Or is it Paul Simon?
We'll check. All Along the Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix. Also, you'd never hear that on harp duo, but I think it'd be really cool. And then Dancing in the Moonlight by Harvest Moon?
Harvest.
Anyway. Okay. Metamorphosis by Philip Glass.
Uh-huh.
And and Metamorphosis.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Thoughts?
Hello,
there's a lot of options.
Smiled friend.
That one. That's The Sound of Silence. So I wanted it to be a nice blend of classic and pop, or I guess this is all like kind of 80s rock vibes or older. Just things that a little eerie,
yes,
is what I'm going for, but in a comforting way, like when the tea leaves give you a good omen.
yes, okay.
Do you have thoughts?
No, I like it. I like that. I just, whenever I think of sound, this is a tangent, but I have to say it because I'm thinking about it. When Sound of Silence was like one of the first pieces I learned on piano, but in conjunction with the song. Do you remember? It's like from California to the na na na.
That's such a blend of them.
No, like I learned two pieces. What is that song called? You know what I'm talking
about? This land was made for you and me.
This land was your land. This land was my land. Yeah. That song.
Do you want to add that to the witchy program?
I don't. But for some reason, my piano teacher was like, "You have to learn two contrasting pieces, and so we're gonna do the Sound of Silence and This Land Is Your Land. This Land Is My Land."
You know what would make this concert super eerie is if we told everyone it started at like 9 p.m. and it was at the beach, and then for no reason we blasted "This Land Is Your Land" with no context, like loud over the loudspeakers. Didn't tell anybody what was going on, and then we just came on and then played the Sound of Silence and didn't acknowledge that this land was your land.
I think that's wonderful. I think,
or would they just think that it was like a weird mistake? I don't know.
I think that's good, and I think we could make "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land" very creepy.
No, I would want it to be
Like chipper.
Yes, and then the contrast. I don't know. Let's not do that. Okay, but which ones of these do you like, and what order are you thinking, and why?
Okay, well, I like Sunken Cathedral because love me some Debussy. The other ones I also like, and honestly, I don't dislike the order you had them in. Some of these songs I haven't listened to in like a really long time, so I have a hard time kind of figuring out how to order them, but I think it's a great concept.
I think it would be really fun to do all. Do you think it's too long?
I don't know. What is like the longest, what's like an appropriate, you know, concert length for, you know, a small ensemble to like perform for?
I think we should plan for about 50 minutes because we'll probably say something.
What, with an intermission or no intermission?
We'll add the intermission after. I think a nice, like a short pause is
like
good.
Like a short pause for maybe us. For like Q&A and then like.
Yeah. That's true. And then I'm going to put this in a Spotify playlist and play around with the order, but I also liked the order.
Right.
Do you think it's okay to do one that's kind of slow and then one that's kind of upbeat and then slow?
Or do I don't know. I kind of, okay, here, like, I feel like sometimes, yeah, you want to go, like, I don't know, fast, slow. Like, I mean, you know, like in symphonies and stuff, you know, with the movements, mm-hmm. they'll kind of alternate them. You don't really ever get a symphony and it's all five movements are just really slow and lethargic, right? You have some kind of like tempo variety in there. But sometimes I feel you can make like a really nice meditative experience if you kind of keep stuff within the same key, the same style, and kind of transition into them seamlessly.
Right.
And I feel like if this one is going to have like this sort of witchy magic theme, it might be nice to arrange the songs in such a way to where you don't really notice that the next song has started until you're, you know, a little bit into it already. You know what I mean? That way it's like a long,
I love that idea, except I don't know how, because some of these songs are very...
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'd have to like think unique. Well, we could...
I guess,
yeah. We could see, you know?
Yeah, what I was kind of thinking is it would be nice to kind of play on what you were saying, but start slow and then kind of spin up to like the most intense piece, which I think would be In the Hall of the Mountain King. Yes. And then kind of spin it back down, wind back down to something also very slow. And so like maybe the Sound of Silence, like end with like something that's very...
I think ending with the Sound of Silence would be nice. Yeah. And then for encore, we can do This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land.
Yes, but then that way maybe we wouldn't do an intermission because we were working on kind of spinning it towards this. Yeah,
And I guess you don't necessarily need to have an intermission for like a 50-minute long concert. You don't need an intermission, I don't think.
We would love to know how long would y'all like to listen to us.
How long would you sit and listen to harp music or any music for without getting up?
What about you?
Well, we kind of already brought it up a little earlier, but we think of doing kind of like a jazzy-ish program. It wouldn't be real jazz necessarily in that we're like improvising it.
I think it would be really fun to have improvisatory sections where
it would be nice, but we are novices in this realm, so most of it would be we will learn, but most of it would probably be prearranged in the beginning. So all you jazz fiends out there, look, we get it.
I was thinking about the jazzy classics, and I think it's like a phenomenal idea, and there's a lot of
because there's also a lot of like ways to use that. We could easily, you know, use them in for more, I guess, commercial ventures, like background music, as much as we could for like, let's say, like a like an evening show at a wine bar or something like that. There's definitely just a lot of variety with that.
So tell us what's on the program.
You know, I'm a sucker for like No More Blues, Girl from Ipanema, that sort of, you know, genre.
We also do some Stevie Wonder.
I was honestly like thinking of just doing like a Jobim, strictly speaking, exclusively like his stuff program, but you know what,
fine. Well, that's not jazzy classics.
It's not jazzy. It's one guy, but we can market it as jazzy classics. I know. No, we could definitely we can put Stevie Wonder for sure.
Okay.
If there's one you're particularly passionate about.
I think it could be really nice.
Which one?
Well, really anything from Songs in the Key of Life. I listened to that while I was expecting my son over and over and over in hopes that when I had him, he would be calmed by Stevie Wonder. No, he was not. But I saw a TikTok that was like, I played Bad Bunny for my son while he was in the womb over and over, and now when he cries, he's soothed by Bad Bunny. And I was like, that's a fantastic idea. What do I want to listen to over and over? And then I thought to myself, well, Stevie Wonder.
That's not a bad over and over type.
So I listened to Stevie Wonder over and over. And it did not work. He still came out of the womb and wanted to hear annoying kid songs. But I respect it. Anyway, so I would love to add some Songs in the Key of Life songs to our jazzy classics.
Okay, that's cool. And then I guess we could add, like, Misty.
That's a beautiful song.
We love
it. It is not the Pacabas canon.
It is not the... Of course, how could you even compare it to the
Because you were making this face.
I love Misty. What is wrong with you? Why would you ever compare it to Pachelbel's?
Because you're making this face like it was so basic, but it's not. It's beautiful.
I wouldn't say it's basic.
Things are basic for a reason.
I do think that it is a standard. But yeah, so like a jazz, I guess, fine. Jazz classics, we can have Stevie Wonder, we can have as many of them as we want on the program. I guess the popular ones, the ones that everyone's already done, you know, versions of, which actually... Fly Me to the Moon, But it's good to like listen to a different variety of arrangements when you are arranging. So, you know, with a program like that, it'll just be like a good one to arrange from scratch because we have so much material to like get inspiration from or to be like, okay, so this type of style is overdone, so maybe we should you know, try something a little different.
Sway is a good one
But yeah, so that was that program. It's not nearly as exciting as the other ones, but it would be very pleasant to listen to. Like I would pull
that's
up
exciting.
Well, yeah,
I was thinking it could be nice to do an all-classical program too, just because
for the Pachelbel's canon enthusiasts.
Actually, I did not put Pachelbel's canon on this list in my head, but I was thinking we could do, I really like Grieg, like Anitra's Dance. I really love Anitra's Dance.
What is it from?
It's from, I'm going to mispronounce this, but the Peer Gynt Suite.
I think, actually, yeah, an all-classical one would be nice, and I feel like for an all-classical one, it would be nice to do, like, chronologically, like, start with, like,
I think so.
You know, some Bach, some... Mozart has some nice stuff. It's a shame he was a harp hater.
I think it'd be wonderful to do some Pachelbel that isn't Pachelbel's canon, just to prove a point.
Okay, sure. And then, you know, some romantics. We could do some.
Well, and we could do the John Thomas on that too.
We could, yeah, we could double dip. But that John Thomas would take up like half the program.
That's fine. But it's less arranging for us because we are carving out quite a bit of work for ourselves here.
We are, but like we play these pieces for like forever, so yeah, it's like
that's true.
We could also sell.
I was very inspired by the New York Harp Ensemble because I was listening to their discography. I'm mispronouncing that, and it is beefy and incredible.
Right, right, right.
So, shall we move on to the next step? For us.
The next step. So, yeah, and I guess in a sense, this is the most mysterious step of them all, which, because nobody tells you how to do this. I mean, I don't know, if someone out there in school had someone tell them how to do this, reach out, we want to have a word. But in our, you know, long and illustrious academic careers, no one's ever been like, this is how you schedule
Performances. Yeah. I think that we...
Or rather, sometimes people will be like, yeah, you could reach out to church and, like, pray about it, which is fine, yeah, but not necessarily effective.
They don't tell you... Like, I was never told, like, this is how you schedule a concert, this is how you sell tickets, this is how you market that. Yeah.
This is how you make your first inquiry when you're inquiring about, like, a venue. Like, what are all the steps that you have to take to do that? And in a sense... I feel like us ironing out a program is helpful or having several options because we could reach out, you know, to a venue and we could be like, hello, we are so-and-so and we have these three beautiful programs you can pick from if you're interested, maybe.
I feel that we should do kind of what I did when I first moved to Miami and I was looking to make connections in the wedding industry, which is I made like a spreadsheet of tons of different venues in the area with their emails, and I sent like cold emails with my name and what I did and just a little blurb about how I'd love to connect with them, and if they had any open houses, let me know, I'd love to come play. But it wouldn't be quite exactly like that, but I think the expectation that we just make a list of
people,
every venue that we found that does something similar to what we're trying to do, and then know that we probably won't hear back from most of them, because I did not hear back from most of the places.
Oh my gosh, no! Like I did something similar when I was like trying to reach out to school districts, because that's actually something that we were told, like, oh, you should reach out to school districts, to like band directors and orchestra directors to try to get students. I did that. I think I made a list of all the private and public schools with music programs in the county, and I sent them all emails, and like nobody responded.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I got a few responses. And then those responses, because I got one or two and I did events with them and I got the like photos, and then they turned into more, but I wouldn't have gotten those, it wouldn't have ever turned into more if I hadn't made a spreadsheet and sent all the scary cold emails. So I think that's how we should approach
cold
this.
Emailing, yeah.
And then also just have a list of dates already and try to get these scheduled as soon as possible. And I think our goal should, for this 25-26 season, should be 4 tops.
We did have one other thing we wanted to talk about with programs, and that's program notes.
Yes.
Program notes are such like an interesting concept to me, because I feel like you go into school and everyone's like out there beating you with a stick about having like proper program notes, and then you sit down and go to a concert and then you never read the program.
Actually, unless it's really boring.
Unless it's really boring. I will read program notes if I am bored. I will read it and be like, maybe this will inspire me to be not as bored.
I think sometimes for the literary one, it would be nice, but the witchy one, like, I don't feel the need to be like, well, this is program notes on Rhiannon.
Maybe. I mean, okay, here's my thing with that, is I took like a seminar on Mahler.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was a full 3 months talking just about Gustav Mahler. Was that necessary? Probably not. Did I do it? Yes.
I think that you're being incredibly harsh.
Maybe. Anyway, but I did learn some interesting things, and one of those things is that when Mahler was working in New York, I think it was, and his first symphony was being performed by the New York Philharmonic in 1909, he made, you know, a set of program notes. And he didn't include any sort of analysis of the work as was customary at the time. His notes actually hardly contained any information about the work, and they left the audience kind of like, what do we, you know, there was nothing to feed the audience with that. And everyone, mm-hmm. all like the music critics were like, why wouldn't you do that? But in the note, he said, he had, this is a quote from the program. He wanted, he admonished the audience for looking at programs throughout the performance. And he left a little like quote saying like, at a concert, one should listen, not look. Use the ears, not the eyes. And honestly, that's really stuck with me because I feel like a lot of people who are being, you know, good noodles and reading their program notes when they're given until you're missing like some of the stuff in the music. Like that's when I start reading the program notes, is when I'm mentally checking out from the music, when I'm not actively listening. That's when when you know the interest has faded, I'm like, all right, it's time to get some background knowledge to see if this will be more interesting after I've read it, you know. And sometimes it does.
Yeah,
sometimes it does become, it does help, become more interesting. So after that whole thing, I've been kind of loosely anti-program notes. I think if you're really passionate about a piece and you want to know more about it, you'll remember it and look it up on your own time. Like I've definitely done that.
I think I have a lot of thoughts about this. Because I think it depends on who, like, what we're trying to do. Are we trying to connect, like, are we trying to build a bridge of classical music to people who don't listen to classical music? Because in that case, I think program notes are essential because a lot of people who don't listen to classical music have no idea what they're listening to. And I know this because my husband is not a musician and he has no idea what he's listening to anytime I play for him.
Yeah, but does he need to have an idea to appreciate it and enjoy it?
Yes. Okay, in my head, we're back at the convenience store. And we are trying to persuade Sweaty Joe Bill, buying cigarettes, that who is interested. Like, there's an interest from Sweaty Joe Bill. Not that everyone there was sweaty. They were lovely people. But, you know.
No, Sweaty Joe Bill was the average customer.
He was there, okay? And you're trying to persuade him not only to let you come back to the convenience store, but you're trying to persuade him to listen to you on Spotify. I think that program notes of sorts are very appropriate for this because you're trying to tell Sweaty Joe Bill what is great about the Scarlatti Sonata. Okay, you really think
Sweaty Joe Bill is going to, like, read a program? No, but he will listen to you tell him a tale. I think in that regard, like, just kind of talking over having an actual formal program note is better. It's more engaging.
I think both is good. I think it's good to have both. You should.
Sweaty Joe Bill is going to use your program note to, like, roll a spliff or something.
Okay, well, I hope he shares it. And then we can talk more about what is great about classical music over our program note spliff. I have not, like, I want to connect with Sweaty Joe Bill. I think that we're really off topic here. My point is, if you were, because what I've noticed when I'm playing for people who don't necessarily aren't fans of classical music apart from the moment I'm playing for them or whatever, is that while they're listening, they're searching for what they're listening for, and they like the program note. If there's a story behind it or something like that, and the feedback I have received is that is always very helpful.
Yeah, well, if there's, like, a good story, but then it's not, it's never, like, it's always as a story. It has to come, like a verbal kind of, like, here's the hot goss on Scarlatti. Like, you know, people love that. People love hearing about how Eric Satie was deeply passionate about
French music.
I think that we are
arguing about this for no reason. I do not think this is maybe the most fruitful conversation because we're arguing the same thing. We need to communicate verbally, and maybe they like to read. Okay, we don't know. I think it's nice to have both.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. But in that sense, like, how long should it be? Like, what, like 250 words?
No. I think you should say what there is to be said about the piece and shut up. That's what I have to say about, okay, I do have opinions about that. Some people are like, oh, program notes have to be, I don't think, unless it's geared towards classical music lovers, don't say anything about the form or music theory unless you're just very talented at making that
accessible.
Relatable. Yeah, accessible. But for Sweaty Joe Bill, Sweaty, what does Sweaty Joe Bill need to know? Sweaty Joe
he
Bill.
He needs to know something interesting, something that gives
maybe when
dimension.
They were alive. Was it, who was it written by? Why would Sweaty Joe Bill want to listen to this?
I think Sweaty Joe Bill would want to know that these, you know, composers were human like he is.
Yes.
Sweaty Joe Bill would want to know that... I don't know if what I can say next is appropriate, so I simply will not say that.
I think that is wise. But we are all a little Sweaty Joe Bill. And I think that's what people need to understand. I think that people... I'm very passionate about connecting classical music to...
The layman.
Because I am the layman.
Is Sweaty Joe Bill gonna be like our Uncle Sam?
What? People are gonna think that we have a program built spliff because this is making no sense. Is Uncle Sam like, are you talking about like the USA? No? What?
Was Uncle Sam not the personification of this great nation to call people to action?
No. I was just talking about, you know, whoever wants to... Sweaty Joe Bill originally was the person coming into the convenience store.
I know, but is he gonna be our mascot?
Into my alter ego. No, I don't think that'd be very good for branding purposes. Maybe. I don't think so.
Anyway, old pal, I think we can actually kind of put some closing thoughts here. I feel like we've talked about everything we needed to talk about.
Yes, and I think that we would love to hear your thoughts on all of those programs. Let's actually see, because we did an Instagram poll. The first poll that we did is that most people do feel that a harp duo counts as a harp ensemble. One person said no, and I completely respect that. Thank you for responding and saying something, because even if it wasn't necessarily an agreement, I would love to know your thoughts on why. But you're not the only one, even though you're the only one that voted. The other one that we had was, what kind of program would you like to hear? And songs you'd listen to in secret
is the winner.
Which I feel strongly is Canon and D.
And okay, what are songs you listen to in secret that you wouldn't tell anyone you were listening to?
I listen to Country Roads Take Me Home so many times. I listen to that all the time.
I remember, like, in high school, everyone was, like, ragging on 21 Pilots, but there was one song that I was like, actually, this is kind of fire.
Was it the one where they, like, hit the bumpy road?
No, the one that's, like, they're stressed out.
Oh, I hated that one. That one was really annoying. But I really liked... I really did like 21 Pilots.
21 Pilots had, honestly, like, some decent ones. They got a lot of flack from teenagers for no absolute reason.
You know, I think maybe this program, Songs You Listen To in Secret, everyone tell us a song you listen to
that
you're
tell
a little
us
embarrassed
a
by. And then we'll play
to.
It for you.
Yeah.
It's
no longer a secret.
We won't say who
gave it to us. But
and we'll all listen to it, and it will still be your dirty little secret. That's a good one, dirty little secret. You listen to that publicly or privately?
I listen to it public.
But we'd love to hear your thoughts. And the next episode, we are going to be talking about arranging.
Yes.
So stay tuned. Let us know if you have any questions, comments, concerns.
Complaints. We accept those too.
Yes. And we will see you in 2 weeks.